It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It appears we have a standoff at the Capitol. House Democrats passed a bill Tuesday night that would suspend the debt ceiling, avoiding a potentially catastrophic debt default. But Senate Republicans have insisted they will not vote for the suspension, setting up a standoff over an issue that both sides agree on. Failing to deal with the debt limit could upend financial markets and even disrupt basic government operations. Mitch McConnell's signature obstruction could not only tank the good faith and credit of the United States, but it's just one part of a larger and potentially even more catastrophic outcome that the entire two-pronged Biden Build Back Better infrastructure plan could be completely derailed, too. So now President Biden is taking a larger role. Both Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer go to the White House on Wednesday to meet with the president, and so will a cross-section of House and Senate Democrats. Some of those making the trek include progressives Pramila Jayapal, Mark Pocan, Barbara Lee, and Jim McGovern, and conservadems Josh Gottheimer, Stephanie Murphy, Stephen Horsford, Suzanne DelBene, and Mike Thompson. Pramila Jayapal is the chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Gottheimer leads the Problem Solvers Caucus and is probably the most vocal conservadem in the House. Gottheimer's the one who got Pelosi to agree to put the bipartisan infrastructure bill on the floor by September 27th. That's next Monday. As part of that agreement, Pelosi said she'd work to get the votes for that $1 trillion so-called bipartisan infrastructure package, or BIF. The Senate passed that legislation in early August by a pretty big bipartisan margin, giving Biden a chance for a political win on one of his key issues. But Jayapal says that at least 48 of her fellow progressives are ready to block passage of that because of the other part of the bill, the reconciliation package. The larger part of Biden's American Jobs Plan and Americans Family Plan is nowhere close to being done. And a deal was cut, saying one would not pass without the other. Greg Sargent in the Washington Post confirms that the progressives are insisting on sticking to the original deal that was cut. I guess now we wait and see how persuasive Joe Biden can be. Speaking of the president, he addressed the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday for the first time since becoming president. He said that the United States was, quote, opening a new era of relentless diplomacy, that he's determined to work closely with other world powers to address global threats following the American military withdrawal from Afghanistan. Biden also said his administration would dedicate its resources to ending the pandemic, fighting terrorism, and adjusting to shifting global power dynamics to better collaborate with other nations on matters of common concern, such as trade and cyber threats. And the president vowed to double U.S. spending on international climate aid to $11.4 billion a year by 2024. But critics tell us the raised figure still falls far short of what U.S. allies are contributing, and it represents roughly one-eighth of what the world's largest historical emitter would need to pay to account for its cumulative share of carbon heating the planet. Moving on. Although the former guy and his minions have claimed that the 2020 presidential election was riddled with fraud, a newly discovered memo shows that many of their lawyers' election fraud claims against Dominion voting systems and election software company Smartmatic were not true. Shocker. It appears the Trump campaign allowed its so-called lawyers, including Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani, to continue spreading fake news and filing lawsuits despite zero evidence to support conspiracy theories about voting machines. Court papers were filed late last week and released Monday night as part of a defamation lawsuit against Trump campaign officials being spearheaded by former Dominion employee Eric Coomer. Those documents also indicate the officials were aware of the baseless allegations ahead of the widely watched November 19th news conference, during which Trump campaign's legal team claimed Dominion, Smartmatic, George Soros, and Venezuela worked together to steal the election from Trump. Oy. Meanwhile, the former guy filed a $100 million lawsuit Tuesday against his niece, Mary Trump, and the New York Times, claiming they conspired to obtain his tax records for the Times Pulitzer Prize-winning story on his finances. The lawsuit claims that Mary Trump and the three New York Times reporters, Suzanne Craig, David Barstow, and Russell Buettner, were engaged in a, quote, insidious plot and an extensive crusade to obtain Trump's taxes. The Times responded with a statement, quote, "The Times' coverage of Donald Trump's taxes helped inform the public through meticulous reporting on a subject of overriding public interest. This lawsuit is an attempt to silence independent news organizations, and we plan to vigorously defend against it." Mary Trump's response was quicker and to the point, quote, "I think he is a effing loser." But she used the full word, and we tend to agree. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.